It's 8:50 on Morning Edition and time for our pre-opening commodity market report. Here's Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Early calls for the Midwest cash hog markets today are mostly steady, but there are some firm undertones as well on ideas that at least a few plants may have to boost their bids to attain additional supplies needed for delivery late today, tomorrow, or early on Monday. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $45.50. Terminals in general steady in a very light volume test with tops from $45.50 to $48. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Thursday, October 5th, negotiated swine purchases were 18,044. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $60.75 to $70. The weighted average was $65.87, a gain of $1.81 from Wednesday. On a live basis, sparrows and gilts sold from $45.10 to $56, and the weighted average was $50.72. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 19,782. The base price range was $55.25 to $70.25. The weighted average, $66.29, a loss of 49 cents from Wednesday. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $44.55 to $55.50, and the weighted average was $51.32.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Joining us now with a look at the weekend harvest weather picture is Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave. And that weekend harvest picture looks absolutely fantastic across the Midwest. There is one little area on the map across the entire country, actually two areas, one not in any growing areas. That's the Mid-Atlantic states in through New England. A storm system rolling up the East Coast brings some flooding rains to areas there. The other area that could cause some concern for the upper Midwest a little bit later on is Pacific moisture that's been streaming up, causing some flooding. It's been bringing some relief to the drought-stricken areas in the Four Corners region, but also heavy enough rain that they are getting some flash flooding there. And locally heavy showers there will continue to provide additional drought relief, but the flash flooding will continue as well. In the western states, the northwest, mostly dry weather prevails there, and emerging winter grains need some moisture for proper autumn establishment. It does look like things will stay relatively dry in the northwest until the next weather system makes its way there, and it doesn't look like that will happen until towards the end of next week. And the up and down where that goes along with that is when that system pushes into the Pacific Northwest, cold air will be dislodged from western Canada, northwestern Canada, Yukon territories, actually, and dump into the upper Midwest, northern plain states. And some of the forecast low temperatures for not this Friday, not today, but Friday the 13th could be bad luck for some areas, but most of the harvest should be done. But we're looking at middle teens across western sections of the Dakotas. Temperatures as below the freezing mark are right now forecast to push all the way into northern Missouri, northwestern Illinois, and a good portion of the Corn Belt will see temperatures, if the forecast computer model runs are correct, there will be below freezing temperatures across a good portion of the western corn and soybean belt, and that cold air will continue to slowly infiltrate to the east. So not much change in the forecast from what we had yesterday. Warm temperatures, restricted precipitation occurring through Saturday, favoring good drying conditions across the entire corn and soybean belt. A few late weekend and early week showers possible, along with cooling temperatures. Situation should be favorable for field work in most areas, again, until the middle of next week. That's when harshly colder weather is expected to push in. Strong winds, some drizzle, scattered thunderstorms, and even a little snow may fall in far northernmost portions of the Midwest during the mid to late week next week. But it should not. The snow should not accumulate significantly. Farming activities will be slowed or stopped during the middle to latter portion of next week. But again, the interruption will not be all that long, and the weather leading up to that should be just absolutely perfect for harvest. Across the Delta in the southeast, Carolinas and Virginia, only area seeing significant rainfall that may set back field work there. Outside of the U.S., again, Argentina farming activity should advance swiftly during the next 10 days to 2 weeks in the absence of any significant rainfalls expected. Precipitation earlier this week has soil conditions primed favorably for spring planting and the winter crop development. Exception may be in Cordoba and Santiago del Estero, where dryness is still an issue. Across Brazil, rain still advertised to occur over a large portion of the Brazil crop area during the next 2 weeks. No excessive rain is anticipated, but sufficient amounts and coverage will occur to support long-term moisture needs. Driest regions will remain in the Bahia region, northern Minas Gerais, and northeastern Goiás areas. Australia, showers will occur periodically in some Australian locations during the second week of a two-week outlook. No general soaking rains are expected. Northeast New South Wales and Queensland's advertised to continue on the mostly dry side. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning to you, Tom.
Morning, Dave.
Well, overnight we saw in the wheat pit a generally firmer tone, while in the corn pit firmer too, except for the March contract, which was down a quarter. Meanwhile, the beans gave back a little bit of the gains it made yesterday. Let's go ahead and begin in the wheat, where yesterday we saw new contract highs in December, 487, your new high there, and it gave it back just about as quick as it went up. Did hang on by the skin of its teeth to the May high, finishing just above that at 464, the May high 463. How do you read this wheat market?
Well, Dave, there was a tremendous amount of spread activity going on there yesterday. We had a huge deviation from the nearby futures month, with the December versus the July of 07 of next year. It was out there around 20 cents at one point in time. And, I mean, who can read this thing? You know, there's a lot of confusion going on. Everybody's talking about how poor the Argentinian crop is, how bad the Australian crop is. That can improve, obviously, if they get some moisture on it. Looks like Argentina is going to be short on what they projected for their export numbers, and so that's going to have to be bought in somewhere. There's a little bit of a problem here in the U.S. Basically, it's a class-specific thing. We're short hard red wheat, and we're way long soft red winter wheat. So I don't know how this is all going to play out. Will it hold on? I don't know. But when you got $4 cash wheat, we're going to have a heck of a lot of wheat acres planted this next year.
Do you think that Australian producers, commercials, will have to lift out of their hedges at some point because the crop's not there?
Well, you would expect that, yeah. Now, you just don't know what's going on here. That's the problem with this entire futures complex right now. Is you can sit there, you can look at fundamentals, you can look at technicals, and nothing is really driving the bus right now. It's all money, and it's not necessarily all fund money. It's some big specs, some commission houses. It's a little bit of everybody, and they see a little chink in the armor of this thing, and they want to jump in and buy it. And the fact that we're not getting started with corn and bean harvest, there's no progress really being made on it. Basis levels are being kicked up. We're paying edges for stuff into the processors. It's all accumulating into higher prices for grains. Now, will that continue? I think that when we get into the gut slot, we're probably going to feel some pressure on it. Now, how's that going to, what's that going to precipitate into later? I don't know, but I really think we're going to get harvest over. We'll put everything away, and we're back, you know, going higher again.
Higher again after the harvest. Thank you very much, Tom.
Okay, you bet.
Tom Mann of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is located in Champaign, Illinois. The folks from Strategic Farm Marketing joining us every Friday morning on the pre-opening commodity market report. A quick look at the overnights and the lead options. December wheat opened at 501, down 3.5. Last trade down 3/4. December wheat at the board, 465.5, up 1.5. Last trade up 3.5. December corn, 271, down 3/4. Last trade unchanged. And Novi beans, 564.75, down 3/4. Last trade down 1. You're listening to WILO Urbana.